Thank you for the blessing of this new day, and we thank you for your presence here among us as we worship. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, your word would be faithfully preached and faithfully heard, and that your people would be transformed into your likeness. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's the odd story of Christmas. The Magi, the wise men, we don't know what to do with them. Who are they? Where do they come from? What are they about? What's their purpose? And what's their purpose in the whole span of this gospel message of Jesus coming to the world? It's an odd story because of a number of reasons, but it's odd, first of all, because it's only in one of the gospels. You'd think it'd be such a momentous event that they would come from the east, these wise men, whoever they are, to pay homage to Jesus, newborn baby. And you would think it would be included in all the Gospels, but it's only included in Matthew's Gospel. And it's odd also because it's a story where the popular image of the details don't really come from the passage of Scripture itself, but come from a song. It was written in 1857, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And so we get our mental picture of what happened that day from this this hymn, this song. And there are a number of things wrong with that image, that mental picture of what happened that day. We hear that there are three kings who come to pay homage and worship Jesus. And we know from the passage of Scripture that there are not necessarily three who came. There might have been two or one or a dozen, but there are three offered gifts that day. So by that, we extrapolate that there might have been three kings. We also learn from the song or from this popular image that we assume that they went to visit Jesus in a manger, and where he's placed in a feeding trough. But from the passage itself in Matthew chapter 2, we learn that they came, these wise men came to the house where Jesus was, and Mary was holding the baby Jesus. And so it could have been sometime after the birth of Jesus. In fact, some scholars think that it was days or weeks or even a month after Jesus was born. And then we hear about this star. They mention the star as having risen in the east or from the east, and they see the star, and that sets them out on this journey. But the image that we have is that they're led like every day from Persia or from another place in the east to the place where Jesus is. But the truth is that the star just indicated that something spectacular had happened in the universe. And they set out in journey towards what this is that has happened. And that led them to Jerusalem. And when they're in Jerusalem, they ask Herod, so where is this Messiah that's to be born? And Herod doesn't know. So Herod calls together a conference of the chief priests and the scribes, and together they dive into the Scriptures. And so the star set them on the journey, but it's the Scriptures that tell them where Jesus is to be born. And in Micah, it says Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so the star then sort of takes prominence after that and leads them to the place where Jesus is. But it's not the star, it's the Scriptures that give meaning to who Jesus is. It's the hope of all of Israel they're talking about. It's what the Jews had expected and had been taught all of those centuries. Jesus, the Messiah, will be born. And we hear in Matthew's gospel several things. First of all, he wants us to know that these are Gentiles, these magi. It's a Persian word which means magician. They're wise men, but they're magicians. They're astrologers. They're soothsayers. They're interpreters of dreams. A strange way of looking at wise men, but that's what they were. And Matthew tells us two things about them. First of all, he says that they are Gentiles. They're pagans. And these are the ones who come to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. And so we know by that this gospel that Jesus comes to bring is a gospel for all people. It's a gospel for anyone who would receive the gift of God into their life. It's a gospel, it's good news for anyone who would enter into the love of God that Jesus brings. And secondly, Matthew wants us to know that these are the wise men of their age, of the day. They're wise. If you were to gather together in one room all of the interesting people you can think of, people that you know are interesting, and people from past days, ages that are interesting, if you would gather all of the interesting people in one room that you can think of, and then the most interesting man, the Dos Equis man, enters into that room, everyone suddenly becomes quiet, and they look and face him. Matthew is wanting us to see that the wisdom of the ages bows to true wisdom, that these wise men, the intellectuals of the day, will bow to true wisdom when they encounter Jesus. Wise men is a strange way of describing these astrologers. They were, though, the intellectuals, the educated people of the day. They were the scholars from the prominent colleges. They were the ones who everyone would look to for wisdom, philosophers. And you've got to ask the question, how is it possible that we would consider these people wise? And Tim Keller suggests that we would Google what life was like 100 years ago and what their thinking was 100 years ago in terms of technology or in terms of science or in terms of medicine, and we would shake our heads. That was wisdom of the day? That was wisdom of their age? And 50 years ago and 20 years ago, how quickly things change, the wisdom of the age. But there is a wisdom for all ages. And so that we can read Athanasius and Aquinas, and we can read the philosophers throughout the ages up until our own day. We could read C.S. Lewis and Dallas Willard, and we can see in them relevance for our own time because they touched on the wisdom that's ageless, that's beyond the wisdom of their day. And so C.S. Lewis would say, all that is not eternal is eternally out of date. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. So the wise men came in, they saw Jesus, and they bowed to true wisdom and they worshiped him. They acknowledged him for who he is, the Messiah that was so long hoped for. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says it in this way. He says, where is the wise man, the scribe, the debater, the philosopher of the age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the age? And so, if nothing else, this longing inside of the human heart for true wisdom led the Magi to Jerusalem to ask the question, where is the Messiah to be born? And if nothing else, this longing for true wisdom led the scribes and the chief priests and Herod to dive into the scriptures to find out that the scriptures teach that he will be born in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem of Judea. And if nothing else, this longing for true wisdom led them to the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah. He's true wisdom. He's the hope to which we've longed for. The wise men ended their search with Jesus. And it's interesting that they walk in, they see Jesus, and they recognize him for who he really is. They didn't hear him preach. They didn't hear a sermon. He's a baby. They didn't see him do a miracle, but they know within themselves that this is what we've longed for and hoped for. This is true wisdom. And so how can we have that same experience? How can we know? St. Paul says it's in the cross, considering the cross. In that same passage from 1 Corinthians, he says, where's the wise, where's the scribe, where's the philosopher of the day? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? But then he goes on to say, but we preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to the Jews, and it's foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So writes St. Paul. The Magi went in to this room where Mary was holding this baby, and the Holy Spirit showed them this is the Messiah. This is the hope of the world. How can we know? St. Paul says, look at the cross. Because on the cross, it's where Jesus finished our full salvation. It's where Jesus died the death that we deserve to die, and he paid the penalty for our sins. And it's on the cross where he showed us the full extent of his love for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.